Let's get started. We have a lot to do here. Okay. The Chashuva Magichir. Okay. All right. So let's get started. So we started yesterday very briefly some Shinayin Hay. So let's continue in some Shinayin Hay. So again, some Shinayin Hay is Emes HaMaschel Avelus Ulami Shemafanin Mi Kever LeKever. That when does Avelus begin in general? And when does Avelus begin if you're moving someone from one Kever to another? Which, as much of Hilchos Avelus, things that were not so relevant before COVID became very, very relevant during COVID. So certainly Pinoy Mekever LeKever became something that was very, very common, that they weren't flying bodies to Eretz Yisrael so much, even though, you know, if you could afford a private plane, then people were doing that. But other than that, they weren't flying bodies to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, so a lot of people were being buried here and then being brought there later. A lot of times they didn't know when they were going to bring them to Eretz Yisrael. Everything was very uncertain at that time. So we have when Avelus starts in general, and this touches upon the Inyan of Gadol Habayis also, because there's something about a unique status of Gadol Habayis that might change the timing of the Avelus for the rest of the family. So we're going to have to figure out who is a Gadol Habayis and what are the rules when it comes to Gadol Habayis. And oftentimes you have people in three different boats, right? Like I was just talking to Rabbi Dov Schreier, who got up from Shiva today, but his brother, who lives in Eretz Yisrael, is getting up on Wednesday morning. And one could have argued that there would have been a third grouping among his siblings about when to get up, because he didn't go to Eretz Yisrael with the Nifter. Some did. Some family members went to Eretz Yisrael and came back and live in America. And then his brother, who lives in Eretz Yisrael, and may have his own cheshbon. So it gets very, very complicated when trying to figure out those cheshbonos. So let's start at the beginning. Again, first, as far as whether Avelus is d'oraisa or d'rabbanan, we pointed out yesterday that the makar of the idea of Avelus Shiva, the Gemara quotes from a pasuk, the makar of Shloshim, the Gemara quotes from a pasuk, but nevertheless, many, many Rishonim say that Avelus, certainly of Shiva and of Shloshim, is not d'oraisa. There are basically three shitos in Rishonim about Avelus, d'oraisa, d'rabbanan. The Rif in Brachos of Yoram Ralph and Moikatan Yoralph and Beis hold that Avelus Yom Rishon is Doraisa, and the Turans from Shin Sadiches quotes from the Gaonim the same way, and that's what the Rambam writes Parak Aleph, Halacha Aleph as well, and that's what the Ramban writes as well. Only by Shiva Krovim and not by anybody else. And the Rush writes that it's only Doraisa if the Kvur is Biyom Amisa, and that's how the Rush writes in Shuvah as well. So the first shita is, yes, Avelus d'oraisa, Yom Rishon. But only Yom Rishon is d'oraisa, with the added caveat, according to the Rush, Yom Rishon means Yom Misa and Yom Kvur on the same day, that they managed to get the person buried on the very same day that the person died. Second shita is the shita of the Ravid, that Avelus Yom Rishon is d'oraisa, and Shloshim Yom of Gihutz v'Tisporas is also d'oraisa. So Yom Rishon and certain, and let's say the Yisur to get a haircut and the Yisur to press your clothing or whatever, for Shloshim, that's Doraisa, but the Dinim of Shiva are only Midrabanan. That's what the Ramban quotes from the Ravid, even though the Ramban himself disagrees with that Ravid. And then you have the Shita of the Ri. And the Shita of the Ri is that all Avelus is Drabanan, only Aninus Yom Rishon is Doraisa. The Ramban quotes this from the Ri, Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachos Daf Tes and Beis quotes this. That's what the Rush Paskins in Sim Gimel and Sim Chav Zayin in third parak of Moed Katan. Mechaber quotes the Shita of the Rif, like the Ramban says, and the Shita of the Ri in Sim Shin Sadiches. And the Shach over there writes, yeah, we Paskin like the Ri. And his Raya is from Halacha in Shin Sadites, Sif Yud Gimel. If you look in Shin Sadites, Sif Yud Gimel, it makes it sound like really Mikra, then we should Paskin like the Rif. It's just that the Olam Noah Gimkari. So bottom line is, we're knowing like the Ri. So we're knowing to assume that Avelus is Durabanan. So that's the starting point over here. Now, when does that Avelus begin? Now that we know that everything is Durabanan, so now we're going to have some clue in terms of how to deal with Sfeikos and things of that nature. So the Gemara Moikata Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph tells us that Rabbi Eliezer holds that the Avelus begins Mishiyotzim Pesach Beiso, and Rabbi Yeshua says Mishiyistam Pesach Beiso. Hagolah, Machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, and obviously we always pass like Rabbi Yeshua against Rabbi Eliezer, so we're going to pass in Misha Yistam Hagolah. But then begs the question we started to discuss yesterday, what is Yistam Hagolah? So Rashi in Ksubas Tavdal Rambez writes, Stimas Hagolah is the Kisui of the Aron Shalmeis. And Tosfos writes Rabbeinu Tam, Tosfos Ksubas quotes Rabbeinu Tam, he has a whole bunch of kashas on that, and he says, no, Golel is an Evan Gedola that they place on top of the Kevin. So Rashi writes, closing the casket, and Tosfos says, in the Rabbeinu Tam, an Evan Gedola that is placed on the Kevin. The Ramban in Torah Adam explains Rashi that that's only if they are so same almanas shalo yiftach od, because then it's ki'ilu is munach bekever, meaning closing the casket only if that's final. But if, let's say, they're going to take the body out of the casket, let's say in Eretz Yisrael or something, let's say for whatever reason they typically don't even put the body in the casket at all, but let's say they're going to take the body out of the casket to bury the body in the ground directly, then the closing of the casket does nothing. And really, Mekar Adin, you're supposed to bury a body directly in the ground. I think in America it's illegal to do that, so only the Hasidim do it. I think that's why they have like a trap door at the bottom of the casket. They put the casket in, and then boom, falls in the mesa, falls into the kever. So they manage to they get a bunch of Chavar Kaddish guys around it so no one could see, and that's what they do. So at least the Chassidish Levaya was at. That's pretty funny. So typically that's the qualification that the Ramban explains, that Shitas Rashi, that's closing the casket, is only if it's never going to be opened again. And the Ramban explains Shitas Rabbeinu Tam that Golel is an Evan Gedola that they put on the Kever in order to close the Kever, not a Nefesh Kever, not a Matsever or something like that. However, in the bottom of the Machon Yerushalayim Tours, and Nagos Va'oros of the Tour, in Osei, he says that if you look in Tosos and Shabbos and Tosos Sanhedrin, they quote Rabbeinu Tam that the Golel is the Matseva that they put there as a Tziyun. So even though the Ramban had a different tradition of what Rabbeinu Tam held, it seems from the Balei Tosfos that we have printed on the page in Masech Shabbos and Masech Sanhedrin that it actually is the Matseva. And if you look in the Orzarua and the Tosfos Rosh and Sanhedrin Daf Mem Zayin, and in other places, it seems that they understood Rabbeinu Tam that way as well. Now the Rosh in Siman Lamed Tes quotes a lot of Rayas, and then he says, and he calls them Muchach, Shestimas Hagolel Hainu Achar Shenikvar V'Nigmer Stimas Hakever Ba'Ofar. We don't connect to any of these things about a stone and a closing of the ara. Nah, it's when the burial is done, when they fill up the ground with dirt. That's the Stimas Hagolel. That's what the Rosh says. Va'afim Regilim Moses Evan Liachar Zman Al Hakever. And the Rosh says, oh, but after Shiva, after Shloshim, after Yubisod, whatever it is, whatever your minhag is, of when you're doing Akamas HaMatseva, so you might put a Matseva, you're going to put a Matseva on the Kever, it's Stimas Hagolel already. You don't wait till you put a stone on the Kever. And that's what we pass in the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Aleph, right? Me'ima Saichala Avemus, Misha Nikvar, V'Nigmar, Stimas HaKever Ba'Ofar. Right, exactly like the Rush says. The Bach says Minhaga Olam is do like the Rush, and Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, the Bach writes that even Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam would be Moda, that based on the current realities of how we do things, that the Rush is correct. That when you fill the kever with dirt, that even Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam would agree. Whether they would or wouldn't is irrelevant. Bottom line is, that's what we're paskin, right? So when they finish burying a guy, the Avela starts. Or a woman. When they finish burying the person, the Avela starts. The Rush then writes that even though the Avela starts, the Stimas HaGolel, you don't have to take off your shoes until you get back home. And he says, Nagu ba'ashkenaz, that al aviv imo your cholitz minol of miyad and your cholich yachaf lebayis, that they would take off the shoes right away and they go barefoot to the house. And if you look in Shulchan Aruch, he says that since the Avelis begins right away when they finish the burial, Uma Atif Rosho, you do an Atif Sar Rosh right away. Avelino Cholitz Minol of Achiagila Beis, so you don't have to take off your shoes till you get home. Vachshav Noagim Lachlitz Minolach Hasimus Hagolel Miyad Kedisa B'Simus Shinayin Vav. But our minhag is that they do it right away. So that's in fact our minhag. Meaning one of the things on the checklist the rabbi gives to the family in advance before they come to the funeral, one of the things the rabbi says is bring your Crocs or whatever it is, whatever slippers, whatever it is you can be wearing on your feet throughout the Shiva, bring it with you to the cemetery. We often will advise, and the shoes that you're going to be wearing to the Levaya, better to have slip-ons, because people start trying to undo the laces, and it just causes a delay, and older people start tripping over, and there's nowhere to sit, so much, much easier to just have slip-ons. You can just flick them right off, and then the people can put on their Crocs or whatever. Before they walk through the Shura at the cemetery, they've already changed into... So a lot of times, you have to also anticipate that, because a lot of times there's like a delay. Because it's like, oh yeah, I the Avil will say, yeah, listen, I brought my Crocs. They're in the car that's parked, it's 8,000 degrees outside, and someone's got to run to the car that's half a mile away because it's a big Levaya, and they're all along those narrow roads in the cemetery. So, you try to make sure that you anticipate the next step if you're running a Levaya, to make sure that, that it's there, that they have what they need when they need it. Okay. Now, what if the kavura doesn't happen exactly in the same spot where the misa happened, and meaning there's different locations of where the avelim are and where the kavura is happening? So the Gemara in Mekot and Daf Chav Beis says that those who do not go with the mace to the makom kavura, so as soon as they are machzir pnei me'amita, they begin to count the avelim. So I think we mentioned this yesterday, right? That you're accompanied to the mace to JFK. It's in the airport hangar, and then some family members are turning around to go home. That's the beginning of their avelus. The Ramban writes in Torah Zadam, page Kuf Samach Beis, that we dafka say that when they're molichim osum me'ir le'ir, but if they're going to be covered b'beis hakvaros samach le'ir, so those who are chozer misharei'ir are not misabel until they tell them that the burial happened. And that's what's mashma from the Rambam in Perek Aleph Halacha Hey as well, even though the Torah quotes that the Bahag never made such a chiluk. That the Bahag thinks, if you're not accompanying to the Kvura, whether the Kvura is a mile away or 1,000 miles away is irrelevant. As soon as you machzir panav, the Bahag thinks the Avelus begins. Torah writes that the Rosh is maskim to the Rambam, that it does make a difference whether it's a mile away or 1,000 miles away. And the Beis Yosef asks, where do you see that the Rosh says such a thing, that he holds like the Rambam? Anyway, in Shulchan Aruch we pass him like the Rambam, right? In Shulchan Aruch we make such a chiluk. So in the Aruch HaShulchan and Tzivchas, he quotes the sheet of the Bach, that you only begin the Avelus Mikshayach Supanem if you don't know when the Stimas HaGolel is going to be, and Hachzaras Panav is considered Stimas HaGolel. But he says, he quotes from the Bach, but if you know when the Stimas HaGolel is going to be, then you're maskil the Avelus at the Stimas HaGolel. So that's what the Aruch HaShulchan quotes from the Bach. Whoa, so now with modern communication, as long as someone could tell you, could text you right away, Stimas HaGolel just happened. So then, according to the Bach, you'd wait till then to begin the Avelus, even if you're turning away earlier. So the Aruch HaShulchan says he disagrees with this. And he says the reason you begin the Avelus, Michshiachsu Pineyam, is not because you have no idea what's happening from then on. And therefore, who knows? Maybe the burial is going to be 3 days later, maybe it will be 3 minutes later, I have no idea. So therefore, I said, that's not what it's based on. It's based on that you're Nisyayish Mimenuin, Yiyush is Kistima Sagolel. That you're finished. Your job in terms of dealing with the Kavura is now over. So since your job in dealing with the Kavura is now over, there are other people that are taking care of all the other details. So that's considered Stima Sagolel. Now, what if a person gets a telegram or a telephone call or an email nowadays or a text that someone died, that a relative died in a different city and is going to be buried in another day or two? And the Avel is not going to that city. I had a Shaila of a guy whose relative died and was going to be buried in Israel, and the guy legally was not allowed to go to Israel. They didn't explain any further. They just told me, legally, this man is not allowed in the country. So, so he was not going to Israel for his mother's Levaya, because legally he's not allowed in Israel. So now, when does he observe Avelus, right? Does he start Avelus right away? So the Netziv in Meshiv Dover, Simnayim Beis, says he should wait until the Zman HaKvura. And he says, this is not like when you're Molech HaMeis to an Ir HaCheres, where as soon as you turn back and you turn away from them, that the avel is going to start, because when you makabel the avel is only al pi yedia, and the yedia comes with the knowledge that it's going to be buried the next day, so then you'd start the avel slamacha. Meaning, if your knowledge was with direct knowledge, because you were right there with the maze, so then as soon as that changes, as soon as something changes in your relationship to the maze, in your asek with the maze, so when that change happens, your avelus can begin. But if meikara, the entire connection to the maze was only al yidei telephone, and now and everything that happens here on in is also only al yidei telephone, so nothing's going to change right away. You have to wait until the kavura. That's what the Nesiv says. This is quoted by the Geshar Chaim Parak Yitzes Olas Dalas of Kut Niyot. However, Rav Moshe Netshuvik Rav Moshe Yardeich and the Galus in Rishon and Gimel says that no, you begin the Avelus right away. You're not going anywhere, so you begin the Avelus right away. You're not going to be involved at all in the Kavura. You're legally not allowed in Israel because of that time that you thought it was funny to mess around with the LL security. That's what I'm assuming it was. Nothing more nefarious than that, right? So for whatever reason, you're legally not allowed in Israel. So okay, so you're not going. So you start right away. Pnei Baruch. He quotes from Rav Rafal Shapiro, the son-in-law of the Netziv, and from Shuvas Marshan, and from Chalkas Yaakov, and from Rav Si Pesach Frank, and from Rav Hankin, that everyone disagrees with the Netziv about this. That everyone holds like Rav Moshe. And in fact, Rav Shachter told me that Divrei Baal HaIgros Moshe Iker Deloka Netziv. Right? We don't pass on like the Netziv over here. We pass on like Rav Moshe. So if a person is not, I think I asked Rav Shachter about that case where the guys. So then it was just a shayla of participation through Zoom and, getting people together. So is that still considered to be an asek with the... But if you're not going to have any asek at all, then it's just, okay, the mother's going to be buried where she's going to be buried, and you found out from a distance, and everything's from a distance, so then the avelus would begin as soon as, like Rav Moshe said, right away, because there's no further involvement. Now the Rush in Simulam Cheskot Yerushalmi, that when the Gadol HaBayis goes to be Osik Mitzarchei HaMeis, then we follow the Gadol HaBayis L'chumra. That if he goes with the Meis, everyone counts the Shiva starting Mishiyas Tamagolel. Ooh, so now we're saying a little different. Up until now we were talking about there's no Gadol HaBayis. The other one said, what do I do? So the answer was, okay, when you're a Hov Feich Panav, so that's when your Avelus begins. When does your Avelus end? 7 days later, that's when your Avelus ends. But what if the person that went with the mace is a Gadol HaBayis? So the Gadol HaBayis is not going to be doing observing Avelus until the actual Stimas HaGolel. Right? His Shiva is not going to start, and sometimes it could be a day or two later that that's going to happen. Right? You get to JFK, this time of year, right before Shkia. Shkia's at, whatever, like, 8:10 last night was Shkia. So you get to JFK at 8 o'clock, you're Hofech Panav at 8 o'clock. The mace is going to get on a plane that night, right, a 1 a.m. flight or something. They're not going to get out of the airport to the Beis Olam until 8 p.m. the following night, which is 2 days later, because you got to do more. So it could be a difference of 2 days. I think that's what happened with Shrier. I think there was a 2 day difference between when the Kavura actually happened and because when you take into account the time difference and how long it takes to get through, how early you have to be for the flight and all that. So you could have like that. So the Rush calls the Yerushalmi that when the Gadol HaBayis is Osik Betzar Kameis and he goes, so we follow the Gadol HaBayis L'chumra, that if he's going with the Meis, then everyone counts Mishiyistam HaGolel. And if he doesn't go with the Meis, then everyone counts Mishiyatza HaMeis. Even those who went with the Meis are kafuf to the Gadol HaBayis, and they can be Mekil to start their Shiva with the Gadol HaBayis. The Tosas in Daf Chaf Beis Amar Aleph, Dibur Maschel Madrisu, asks, why is that called the Chumra? If the Gadol HaBayis didn't go, it's actually a Gevaldika Kula, right? Meaning, say, oh, we're machmir that you're coming to the Gadol HaBayis. Maybe a family should strategize, depending how much Shiva they want to sit, whether they're sending the Gadol HaBayis or they're not sending the Gadol HaBayis. I mean, yeah, it'll be a Chumra if you send the Gadol HaBayis and then everyone has to end Shiva 2 days later. But it's a kula if you don't send the Gadol HaBayis, then the people who go get to end Shiva 2 days earlier. So it turns out to be a kula. So Tosos answers that even though they have to begin when Yatza Ameis Mishum the Kavod of the Gadol, nevertheless their Ikra Avelus really begins Mishisa Hagadol, and it's really a Chumrah. Meaning, if the Gadol Abayis stays home, Tosa says, they begin the Avelus at the same time as the Gadol Abayis, but they don't end the Avelus at the same time as the Gadol Abayis. They would still have to keep the Avelus till the end. So this Yosef and Sivet Shinayin Hay over here writes that we have a different gear in the Yerushalmi, where it's Muchach that the people who go do not begin to be Misabel. It doesn't make sense, right? Beis Yosef writes, it doesn't make sense that the people that are going with the mace are going to begin to be Misabel because the Gadol Abayis stayed behind. They're still being Osik in the mace. They're at a Levaya. They're. It can't be, says the Beis Yosef. They wait till Yistav HaGolel, even if the Gadol Abayis stays behind. And therefore, we only go after the Gadol Chumra. We don't need the chiddush of Tosos. Meaning, we just say that they're not going to be kafuf to the Gadol Abayis because their avelus is independent of the avelus of the Gadol Abayis. But we go after the Gadol Abayis of Chumra, if the Gadol Abayis went and he's going to start the avelus later. So then we're going to be machmir that their avelus ends when his ends. The Rush quotes machlokas. If they bury someone samach l'ir, and everyone knows when the burial is going to be, whether we're knowing avelus mishiachs or pneum or mishiach samagola, right? We already discussed that. Now the Rush quotes of Ritz Gaius that a gadol bias could be. So who is a gadol bias? So the Rush quotes of Ritz Gaius that a gadol bias could be even a ben katan or an ach katan. Meaning sometimes you have a family where let's say everybody's in learning, right? Except for one brother who had no zitzflash, and he was the one that, they said, you're not going to get any nachas or whatever. So now he's a billionaire and he supports all the rest of them, right? So sometimes you have like this in the family. So when it comes time to make the actual decisions, so the one who knows how to get things done is the one that makes the decision. So he's going to be the one that's that kolin yani abayis or nechtachin al piv. It's all going to happen. It's all going to happen based on he's the one that bought the plot. He's the one that his plane is flying. Everything is him. It's all so but he's the youngest brother, or he's more likely a middle child, or whatever, right? So you have. So that could be a gadol bias, the Rush quotes from the Ritz Gaius. If that's what in Shulchan Aruch quotes Yesh Misha Omer, that he at least needs to be bar mitzvah. Okay, you would imagine, that it would have to be a very precocious child, to be on the bar mitzvah. In Shuvas HaRash Vesim Tavka Flam Bey, he says, and not only that, gadol bias could be an Isha also. Meaning there's a powerful woman who's determining what's going to happen. So that could also be a gadol abayis. The Ritva, right, is mesupak, whether an isha is called gadol abayis. In Geshar Chaim, he writes in the name of Achronim, that yeah, an isha could be a gadol abayis, as long as nechtachin in yanei hameis al yada. As long as everyone knows the buck stops here, and she's the one that determines everything. So you have, again, you have like that sometimes. Rav Shachter told us once, I think, that nowadays it's very rare to have a gadol abayis because most of the time it's a group effort. I mean, the family discusses things together, and this one says, "Oh, we should do this," and the other, and instead of it just being a psak, someone says, "Oh, but what about what about people in Eretz Yisrael? What about this one? What about that cousin?" They come up with some, and then they, let's think about that, and they, and it's a discussion, and they come up with some plan together. And if that's the way it works, and it's not just one person taking the bull by the horn and just doing everything, so then there's no gadol abayis, right? And if there's no gadol abayis, then you just follow the regular rules. Now, what if you move a mace from one place to another? So the Ramban in Talos Adam and the Rosh and Simin Mem, based on Yerushalmi, say that if you find a mace mikever lekever, so if you bury him in the Kever Rishon, al das to be buried there forever, but then you change your mind and you say, you know what, let's bury him in Eretz Yisrael. So like this happens sometimes, right? My grandfather died. My grandfather, this was many, many years ago, right? My father is already 71, and my grandfather died when my father was 7, right? So this is 64 years ago my grandfather died. My grandmother outlived him by, 50 years or something, right? About 50 years she outlived him by. So by the time when my grandfather died, there's no havamini flying anybody to Eretz Yisrael. No one had two nickels. No one had, there was no Eretz Yisrael. There was no Haram Nuchos wasn't built yet. There was nothing, there was no havamini of bringing someone to Eretz Yisrael. you're buried where the Jews are, Newark, right? Meaning that, so that's where my grandfather was buried for many, many years. Then by the time my grandmother died, so some descendants had some money and they were able to buy a plot in Har Menuchos, and so it was posh work to put my grandmother in Newark, where, like, I don't know, you know, some guy is smoking crack on her kever at night, you know, like, so obviously they brought her to Eretz Yisrael. So once they're bringing her to Eretz Yisrael, so then they move my grandfather to Eretz Yisrael also. So sometimes there's, you bury someone to stay, you think they're going to stay there, but then the situation changes and you come up with an idea to move them to somewhere else. So if that's the case, then you count Avelus Mishayista Magodol LaRishon, even if you move the mace within Shiva. But if initially you bury Al-Minas to move him, when you have a chance, and then Bitoch Shiva, you have a chance to move them, you begin Shiva again with the Stimas Godol Sheni. That's what the Rush quotes from Yerushalmi. If you wait till after Shiva, so then don't worry about it, then the Avelus is over already, right? If you wait till after Shiva, so Shiva was done. But there's the possibility of restarting Shiva if the plan was to move the person and you move the person within Shiva. So that is a terrible idea to do, right? I mean, you don't want to do that, you don't want to restart Shiva. It's like, you know, reminiscent of like, you know, Lahavdil, like a woman getting a bad bidika on the sixth day of Shiva Nikiyim, right? That's the worst. You don't want to have to restart these difficult time periods. So the Rush, I mean, they're not the same, but the Rush, in the end of Simin Nun Vav, writes that there was a Maisa with Rabbeinu Kolonimus Hazakein, Ben Rav Yitzchak Zal, that there was some sort of siege on the city, and they placed him in an Aron in the Beis HaMikvah, and they right away started Shiva and Shloshim, even though they weren't planning on burying him in the mikveh, right? They were going to move him after the siege on the city was over, but since they didn't move him within Shiva, they counted Mistima Sagol Ravishon. But had they intended to be able to move him within Shiva, had they been able to move him within Shiva, then they would count from Stima Sagol Hasheni. So if the plan was to move them, Betok Shiva, so you would say, and that's what happened. There will be Mistimas Golol Sheni. So that's what we're passing in Siv Gimel. In the Pnei Baruch, in the Sefer Pnei Baruch, he quotes a Chubas Betzela Chachma that if they were misabel alav, and they, you know, meaning if they knew, let's say, they were going to be able to move him within Shiva, so then say you don't have a Mistimas Golol yet. Right, meaning the halacha is, if let's say they're burying him today, right now, where he's, you know, doing the stima sogolol right now, but they know that the kavur is not going to be able to really happen for another 3 days, and then they're going to do it again. So really, the halacha should be they start shiva 3 days later, because that's the real stima sogolol. But the Pnei Baruch quotes a Betzela Chachma that if they didn't know and they started shiva right away, so you don't have to do it over again. Now. The Mechaber also proves from the Rush in the Beis Yosef in his Kodesh Shulchan Aruch Siv Dalet that if there was some sort of siege on the city, they count Shiva and Shloshim, even though they plan to bury him in another Beis HaKvar or somewhere else afterwards. Okay, these halachos, again, you would think they have no shaykhus to anything, and they're not, but in COVID, everything happened. Everything happened during COVID. Now, once we're talking about moving a mace, I'm just nervous. The very last siman in Hilchos Avim, Siman Tav Gimel, is about the dinim when you move a mace, and it's very nogeya. This, it actually does happen. I mentioned it happened with my grandfather. We moved him, but it happened. It happens a lot. It happens a lot that they decide they bury someone in America. They decide they're going to move him to Eretz Yisrael. They had such a shayla where someone was buried in California, and they wanted to move them at some point. You know, so the shayla was how long to wait and moving them. I remember dealing with Rabbi Zone about that. So I don't know if we'll have a chance to really get into it, but let me tell you a Maisa Shahaya. I got the following email from someone. This goes back to last year. I got the following email. My wife's brother died unexpectedly during COVID a year ago. Not from COVID, but it was during COVID. He was buried here, right? This is what the guy writes, meaning buried here in New York. My in-laws decided that they want to move the body there to Israel. The date is next week. They will be flying with the body Sunday, and I think burying him on Monday. My wife will be staying behind. meaning the in-laws are going with their son's body to bring the body to Eretz Yisrael, burying him on Monday, the wife is staying behind on Sunday. They told me that regarding Shiva, since we are here, I shall ask my local Orthodox rabbi what she should do regarding Shiva for her. Right? Meaning that when they, on the day of the Pinoy Atzamos, you're supposed to observe Shiva. That's Halach and Simon Tav Gimel. That even if it's years later, on the day that they move the Atzamos, the Krovim sit Shiva. So they said that as far as the wife staying behind, so what should we do about Shiva? I spoke to my Rav, who is another Rav in the community, and he said that since she is not exactly sure the date that the body will be exhumed, and she's not traveling with the body, she would not have to sit Shiva at all. She should just try to be oblivious of the timeline. We thought all was over, but then my mother-in-law called my wife furious that how can she not be sitting Shiva when her brothers are sitting Shiva? Meaning her brothers in their communities asked their local Orthodox rabbis, and they said, oh, you should find out when it's going to be and sit Shiva on that day. I called the brother, and he told me that Rabbi Reisman said that they need to sit Shiva from when the plane takes off until the burial. My wife wants to make her mother happy, but she does not want to sit Shiva just to make her mother happy. Or maybe that's the halacha, and she's sitting for halacha. So what does she do? So I told him, look, if Rav Reisman is involved, they should absolutely follow the psak of Rav Reisman, because like, you know, he knows what he's talking about. But I emailed Rav Reisman. I just want to make sure there wasn't some sort of miscommunication, because the psak didn't make sense to me. Meaning, I thought the post-Gemal assume in Simon Tav Gimel that the Avelus only applies from the time that the body is exhumed until the end of that day, which is just a couple of hours later. Meaning, Rav Reisman told them to sit Shiva the rest of the day and the next day until the actual kavura. That by Likud Atzamos we don't do that typically. We only observe Shiva that day. And also, you know, as a sniff at least, the Aruch HaShulchan and Sif Beis writes in Tav Gimel that Ein Malakdin Samach Chashecha, that's only by Avvi Imav Lo B'Shar Krovin. So Mehechi Tesi, maybe he means that the reason of the din of Ein Malakdin Samach Chashecha means because if you do the Likud Atzamos 10 minutes before Shkia, then there's not going to be a Shiva, right? I mean, there's not going to be an Avelus. So it's not nice to do that with Avvi Imo. So it would be so Pashtus is, that's because it's a Zilzul in the Kvod Aviyim, if you're not Misabel on the Yom Likud Atzamos. And that's only Shaykh by Avvi Imo, where you're Chayiv B'Kvodam, but not by Shar Krovim, where you're not Chayiv B'Kvodam. Okay, so Aruch Yim Ba'achiv HaGadol, maybe you're Chayiv B'Kvodam, but you know, but Pashtus is that's the whole basis of the din is Samach Chashecha, Ein Malachtin Samach Chashecha, because when you Malachit Samach Chashecha, the Avil is going to end that night. So of course it's going to end that night. So I emailed Rabbi Reisman and I asked him. What, you know, did I misunderstand? So he told me, he got back to me. He said, yeah, I'm very familiar with this case. They are precisely aware of the time of disinterment and the time of burial. This is an emotional case where the parents are broken up over the sudden death of their son, and they want to be involved. They should not have told their children, but they did. They're flying with the body Sunday and burial on Monday, he writes. And he said, I am following the Pesach of Rav Moshe, Nigris Moshe, Yerodea Aleph, that in such a case, Shiva is more than one day until the burial. I know that Rav Moshe is a Chiddush, so I told the parents to have their children ask their own local Orthodox rabbi, meaning Rabbi Reisman was saying, Rabbi Reisman always passes like Rav Moshe. So he said, okay, Rav Moshe holds, you got to go all the way until the burial. It's a big Chiddush because it doesn't sound that way from Shulchan Aruch and Simon Tav Gimel. Rabbi Reisman realizes Rav Moshe is against all the other poskim, so he said, okay, for the kids, I'm not going to tell them that they have to follow my following Rav Moshe, let them ask their own rabbis. So he writes, Asei Kuchach Masecha. And he says, I want to reiterate that the parents came to me after all arrangements were complete. Had they approached me earlier, I would have preferred that the siblings not know the day of disinterment. I told them not to find out the precise hour of disinterment so they could be makel until they leave for the flight. With the Niftar on board, it's obvious that the Shiva has begun. If you have any thoughts on this, please let me know. B'yedivas Y.R. Okay, so that's what Rabbi Reisman wrote back to me. Meaning to say that he normally what we do in such cases, we try to keep the krovim in the dark so that they won't have to sit shiva. meaning we say it's going to happen sometime next week, and they'll have no idea what day next week it's going to be, and therefore, without a yediyah, they're not going to have to sit shiva. But very often, you can't keep all the krovim in the dark, because some of the krovim are the ones that are arranging it, they're the ones that are doing it. So you can't keep all the krovim. I remember when they moved, a friend of mine who passed away during COVID, at the very beginning of COVID, so initially was buried here, and then they moved from Teretz Yisrael, they moved to Beit Shemesh. So the one who was making all the arrangements was his brother. So I told him, you really shouldn't have found out. You should have asked someone else to make the arrangements for you. He said, yeah, it's not Shabbach. And, you know, he's paying for it. He's doing it. He's the one making all the arrangements. So he did. He said, should I just not tell anybody else? I said, right. Just don't tell anybody else. Just tell them when it was done already. Tell them when he's already reburied, reinterred, everything's already done. So that's normally what we do. So I wrote back to Rabbi Reisman. Thank you very much for the clarification. I'm not sure why they reached out to me, because I'm not even their rabbi. I told them that normally we prefer the family not to be informed, but once you know about it, there certainly is a chiyuv avelus. Meaning, what Rabbi Reisman said, the point I forgot to make, Rabbi Reisman was saying was that they should observe avelus from the time they leave to the airport. Even though they're not the ones schlepping the body, meaning there are cemetery workers that are doing that. There's chevra kadisha involved in that. Right, they're not in the cemetery digging up the body and being malakin atzamos and bringing the atzamos. Right, they're so mechitesi from the time they leave to the airport. So Verizon explained, no, it's from the time they leave to the airport, because by that time you can be sure that it's already been dug up. Right, meaning prior to that, who knows? Maybe it's not dug up yet, so you could rely that maybe that. But if you know the mace is going to be on the same plane as you, then by the time you're leaving the airport, the mace is already dug up from the ground, and therefore your avelus has started. So anyway, so I told him that I you know, normally we prefer family not to be informed. Once you know, there's certainly a chiv avelus. I was not aware of Moshe's psak about how long the avelus extends for. But in this case, I advise them to follow the psak that the parents are following, so as not to cause any more grief than they're already experiencing. Once he said Rabbi Reisman was a psak, I was obviously even more comfortable to say that they should follow what Rabbi Reisman said. Just wanted to clarify to make sure there were no miscommunications. And then I explained to him, he misunderstood what I meant by the Aruch HaShulchan that I quoted, so I explained to him what I meant by that. He then got back to me and he said, if you look into it, or if their rabbi looks into it and decides they don't need the second day of Avelus, tell them not to do the second day of Avelus, and don't tell the parents. What do they have to tell the parents that they're not doing the second day of Avelus? Okay, so that's where it gets complicated in Siman Tav Gimel. We're not going to get into all the dealing in Siman Tav Gimel right now, but it's an interesting, it's certainly an interesting topic, and it's something that is nogeya lemaisa in a lot of circumstances, unfortunately. Now, there is a sugya of nisya'esh al meisa. Again, also rare, but it comes up, in horrible and extreme circumstances, where let's say you have a prisoner of war situation, an MIA, or you find out that someone definitely died in battle, but the enemy took the body and is not releasing the body. There's still families in Israel that have been waiting decades to retrieve bodies, and they're confident that they know that it's a body and it's not a live person. So what do you do? When do you observe avelus? So in Eva Rabasi Parak Beis Halachi Aleph, it says that Harugi Malchus, you count the avelus mishin nisyashu milishol. Once you nisyash, from asking anymore. And it also says Huadin im nafaliyam or hargu listim or garatu chaya. That as soon as you nisyash min kavro, if you think you're never recovering the body, someone fell overboard and there's no way of finding the body, as soon as you miyash from finding the body, you count the shiva, and that's what Shulchan Aruch Paskins here in Sif Hey. They say also writes that's dafka b'mayim sheish lemsof, because it's saying lemsof. The Gemara says that there's no heter l'ishto and the stavra that we're not knowing avelus, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch Paskins of Zion. Meaning, if you don't even know the person's dead, so then you really have a problem. Now, the Rambam, Perek Aleph, Halacha Dalet, writes that if you find Evarim, Evarim, then you only observe Avelus when you find Rosh of Arubo, or you're Mesiyah-ish from being Mevakesh any further. And the Ramban, meaning this is like a World Trade Center kind of situation, right? What if you find pieces of the body? So you know, once you're misya'ish from looking for any more of the body, so then the kavura would happen, right? There was they essentially what happened by 9/11 was that they had a search going on for a while, but then when they realized that anyone who was alive would have been found already, meaning is by now dead, then they stopped the search and they just came and, you know, cleared out the whole place because it was impossible to really search through every piece of rubble that they had there. So then it was Nisyayish. So once it's Nisyayish, so then they sit Shiva. So the Ramban writes in Torah Sa'adab that even if you know Bevade Shemes, it's impossible to bury him, you begin the Avelus Mishin Nisyayish Milukavro, and that's what you're passing against Siv Zayin. Now the Rush in Simen Nun Vav quotes Machlokas, what if you're Nisyayish after Shloshim, after 30 days, meaning it's more than 30 days later when you're finally Nisyayish Milukavro. So now, how do we deal with that? What's the Shaila? What would the Shaila be? What do you mean? Just observe Avelus. What's the Shaila?
A year.
So, what?
A year for a parent.
No, that's it. I mean, even with Gabe the Shiva, there's a Shaila. Because there's a din called Shmur Ruchoka. That if you only find out about the Petira more than 30 days later, then you only observe one day of Shiva. So the Shaila is that called Shmur Ruchoka? Meaning you knew about the Petira right away, but you couldn't observe Avelus till 30 days later. So is it the idea of the death that only comes 30 days later, which would mean that you'd only observe one day of Avelus? Or is it, you know, it's more that the Avelus begins more than 30 days after the death? So he's mechalek that by Shmur Rechoka, the Krov Mar Chayam Avelus Kol Hazman, and they just didn't know about it, so that's why it was a Shmur Rechoka, as opposed to over here they were Osik Petzarcha Emes, like an Onin, so they didn't have the Dinim of Avelus. I mean, by Shmur Rechoka, what was the case of Shmur Rechoka? There was an instant communication from one end of the world to the other, so by the time someone got word that their relative died, it was already more than 30 days later, but they really should have sat Shiva a month earlier. They just didn't know that they were supposed to be sitting Shiva. In this case, they knew everything they needed to know. They just weren't ready to be sitting Shiva yet. So that's not a Shmur Rechoka, and therefore they should have to sit the regular Shiva. That's how the Rush writes. The Rush further says that someone who dies b'beis ha'asurim and the government doesn't release the body for kavura, so there are no dinim of aninus because they can't be osek b'kavuraso. And again, another one of those things that you think like, when is that ever going to come up? And in COVID, it happened, where the Chavar Kedisha said, we're not looking at this body for another 3 days. We just can't. We're too overwhelmed. It's, you know, first come, first serve. So there's a body that is not being released by the, you know, by the hospital for another 3 days. And you know that it's not being released. So there is no dinim of aninus during that time, because you can't be also b'kavuraso. There's also no dinim of avelus, because you're not nisyayish. Right, so it's this weird thing that you know the relative died, and there's no aninus and there's no avelus yet, and that's the Shulchan Aruch Pasuk Shem Lemal of Sevdal. In Pesach Tshuva over there, he quotes from Tshuva Nevi Yehuda that if there's a law that you have to wait 48 hours till you bury, in many countries, in many places in Europe, like the big fear that people had was of being buried alive. Because there were all these like stories that people told. They were all bubba mices, but there were all these stories that people told that someone, you know, people being buried, and they started knocking on the coffin, hey, get me out of here, you know, whatever. So they were just in a deep sleep or whatever, right? So they made laws in several countries that you're not allowed to bury until someone's been dead for 48 hours. You got to be good and sure that the person is dead. So what do you do if you're waiting 48 hours for no reason other than that's the law? So we said the aninus is chal right away, and that's not like a case where the government doesn't allow you to bury them at all. And even if you'd be able to bury him, they're not mechuyev right now to prepare tachrichim, and because it could be that you'll never be able to bury them, and they'll be preparing tachrichim for nothing. But in that case, even though they don't have the ability to bury right away, but they do have the ability to prepare tachrichin. So the anin, meaning there are arrangements they could be making already. So therefore, the anin is going to be chal. Ooh, so according to that, the Yehuda, the COVID case, they do become onim right away. Meaning, if your mamash can't do anything because you don't even know, it may be a bracha levatala. What are we going to be doing? We'll be preparing tachrichin and a coffin and this and that. And then the government may not release the body ever. So then there's nothing to do. So if there's nothing to do, then there's no aninus, there's no avelus. But if you know that that they're going to be releasing the body in a day or two, then there is aninus. What happens if you're misyayish and then you sit shiva and then they find the mace? So the Rush quotes from Ben Eliakim, there's no chiyuv avelus, but they have to do kriya because it's shas chimum. And kriya comes from shas chimum at a time of great emotions when they find the mace. So it's called the shas chimum. Rabbeinu Meir and Meram Rutenberg disagrees and holds that the krov marcheim ba'avelus yom rishon, because it's just like l'kita satzavos, meaning if you observe the whole shiva and then 50 years later they move my grandfather to Israel and my father has to observe avelus for a day because they're moving. So why is this any different? They observed shiva before they found the body, then the body washed ashore somewhere, right? So now they found the body, so that's l'kita satzavos. And before the Kavura, they'd have Dinam of Aninus. That's what the Ram Rotenberg says. The Rush disagrees, and he says, no, Dinam of Aninus, but yes, Dinam of Avelus that day. And if the Krovim don't know until after Kama Yama Me'a Kavura, then there's no Chiyuv Avelus or Kriya. So Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rush, that there's no Dinam of Aninus for sure, because even by Nikol HaTzamos, there's no Dinam of Onin. There's only a Dinam of Avel from the time that they disinter to the time that they either re-enter or the end of that day. Now, going back a little bit to the issue of Gadol Abayis, just to elaborate a little bit more on that. The Braisa and Daf Chaf Aleph and Beis Amud Katan says, Tanakama holds that anyone who's above B'toch Gimel Yamin, Mimakum Karov, Yermona Imahim, you count with them. And if one of the Avelim come back, La'achar Gimel Yamin, Mimakum Karov, so the Tanakhama says, well, that he's mona liatzmo, and Rabbi Shimon says, you're mona imahim. You count together with the person who came even after 3 days from the beginning of the avelus. So the Rush says, makom karov means a one-day journey. So b'zman hazeh, that you could travel in one day, you could travel around the whole world, there are three shitos in achronim, what's called a makom karov, what's not. So in Tshuvas ha'eluf ha'shlomo yardeis ha'mishim tes, he says, krov ha'ruchoka, that we say by avelus is tali on Hiluch peregel velo besusim upredim, that it's all dependent on one day's walk, 40 mil, whatever it is, however long you can walk in one day. In Tshuvas Rav Pa'alim, Chel Beis Yardesim Mem, Chel Gimel Yardesim Chavdalin, he says, if you can get there even by train, even if there happens to not be a train, but, you know, if there were, you'd be able to get there within one day, then that's considered makom karov. In Yalkut Yosef, he quotes Rav Eliashiv and Rav Adi Yosef, that anywhere you can actually practically get within one day is called a makom karov. Which means that nowadays, and that's what Rav Adi writes in Yabia Omer, that nowadays everything is a makom karov. So that's if you didn't know about the misa of the karov before you came to the rest of the family. But if you already knew about the misa of the karov, and you already started to be misabel on Yom Beis, then you can't be makatzer your avelus because of the brothers. That's what the Rush writes. So we paskin like Rabbi Shimon ba'avel, alach divrei mekel ba'avel. But if he comes on Yom Zayin and it's ready amdu amenachem me'etzlam, you know, everyone is ready mitziyom kukulo, so then he has to count his own shiva, and he's not going to be able to just join in progress wherever they're up to. So the Gemara over there explains that this is only when there's a gadol abayis. Then he gets to count together with them. But when there's no gadol abayis, so he always has to have his own cheshbon for shiva. So all of this whole gemara is paskind over here in if ches and tes in shulchan aruch. Now the gemara goes on to say, halach gadol abayis to beis hakvaros mahu. What if the gadol abayis went off to the beis hakvaros? Tashma, dam rab chir barabba, am rab yochanan, afilu halach gadol abayis to beis hakvaros, mona imahem. Vatanya Munal Atzmo, but the Bryce says he counts his own Shiva. Lokasha. Hada Asabugotlasa, Hadla Asabugotlasa. So Rashi says that if the Gadol Abayis goes to bury the mace, where his Avelus only starts at Nistama Golel, and the others, their Avelus start in Mishayach Supineim, so if he returns within 3 days, he's Mona Imahem. And if not, then he's momili atzma. But the Rush explains that they already buried him, and the Gadol HaBayis just went to be Osik B'tzorchei Matseva. That's what the Gemara is talking about. And the Gemara is asking if the brother that comes with Makum Karov could count with the rest of the brothers, because it's Ki'ilu, Gadol HaBayis is in the Bayis, or do we say, no, he can't count with the rest of the brothers because the Gadol HaBayis is not in the Bayis. So he says, there are two Perushim in the Teretz of the Gemara. If you learn, that's the Kasha of the Gemara. First Perush is that if the Gadol HaBayis comes back within 3 days, it's considered that he's there the whole time, and others are allowed to count all together. They count the Avelus all together. As opposed to if he comes back after 3 days, then it's not considered that he's there. And the second interpretation is that if the other guy comes back within 3 days, the guy who went out comes back within 3 days, he can count with his brothers, and he comes back after 3 days, he can't count with his brothers. And even though he passed on Reb Shimon, the Makom Karov, even on day 7 he's Mona Imahem, that's only if there's a Gadol HaBayis there. But if he goes Letzarach HaMeis, then we're Mechalik between before and after. So all of these complicated cases are totally irrelevant, because none of this happens. Meaning this idea that a Gadol HaBayis can go take care of the things of the Mitzeva in the middle of Shiva, and that people are finding out on different days when someone died, and they're only joining the Avelus in progress, those kinds of things don't really happen. What does happen is what we described earlier, is that the Gadol HaBayis gets on a plane, or the Gadol HaBayis stays behind. So again, assuming that there is such a thing as Gadol HaBayis, so different posts can have different attitudes about that. Meaning, let's say they say, you know, the Gadol HaBayis is the grandmother, right? Grandpa died, grandma's still home, right? And one of the brothers went to Eretz Yisrael, with grandpa to bury him in Eretz Yisrael. So grandma started teaching Shiva right away as soon as she was. So if grandma has a din of Gadol HaBayis, when the guy that went to Eretz Yisrael comes back, he gets up from Shiva the same day that grandma gets up from Shiva. Right? That would be the din. We get up from Shiva the same day that that grandma gets up from Shiva. I'm not sure why Rabbi Schreier said that the brothers that live in America went to Eretz Yisrael and came back, that Rabbi Willick said they should get up the same day. This morning, the same day that Rabbi Dov Shreier got up from Shiva. Why is that? There's no din of Gadol HaBayis. That's just that you're joining in progress. That's considered you're joining within 3 days, and you're joining in progress. And I guess that they all started together because they all were. Not sure why that is. No, what's the cheshvan? Rabbi Max Shreier died on Tuesday. On Tuesday evening before Shkia, they put the body on a plane. A bunch of the brothers went back to Woodmere, and a couple of the brothers got on the plane. Right? The couple of brothers got on the plane, came back Thursday morning, let's say. Right? So what should the din be? So certainly the people who stayed here the whole time, their Avelus started Tuesday right before Shkia, so they got up this morning. Why should the people that got on the plane and came back, why does their Avelus end this morning?
There's no
Gadol HaBayis. There's no mother, there's no father. The father passed away just now, the mother passed away a few years ago. And among the brothers, there's clearly no Gadol HaBayis. Seven brothers are all Chashava people. And it's clear they do everything together. I don't know. All right, we have to clarify that, right? Why would they? Okay, we gotta figure that out. Okay, there are a few other halachos that come up over here. There's a discussion. The Geshe Chaim says if someone is cremated, so then the Avelus begins on the day of the cremation, as the Chokas Yaakov writes, because there's no meaning. Someone's cremated, maybe you'll say, okay, but then take the Afer and bury that, and then and that will be the Kavura, and you'll start the Avelus then. So Geshe Chaim says, no, on the day of the cremation, they start the Shiva, and Chuvus Chalkas Yaakov, Chalkas of 9 days, he says, there's no Chiv Kavura in Afer Mason, even though it's the right thing to do. And Rosh Hashanah also told us it's Nechol Mekovram, just not to bury them in the middle of the basic verse, you put them off on the side somewhere, just by the very virtue of the fact that they were cremated, tells you that they weren't really, you know, deserving necessarily, the kind of people that are deserving of being buried among the tzaddikim. So it should be somewhere on the side of the cemetery. But that's just Nachal Lakova, but the Avelus is going to start. Is going to start right away as soon as you cremate them. That's how all the posts going to say. Now there are all these questions about Ben Hashmashos, and if you're not sure when to start counting the Shiva. Okay, we'll leave that for a different time. Ezra Hashem Wednesday. So Wednesday I think we just move on to Shinayin Vav. What's Shinayin Vav? Minagam Menachemim Nishayin Menachemim Nichum Aveilu. Very no gaya. Okay.